Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for standing by. Welcome to today's The GYM Group Pre-Close Trading Update conference call. At the moment, all participants' lines are muted. I'd now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Mr. Richard Darwing. Please go ahead, sir.
Morning, everyone. Thank you for joining the call. We'll do a short summary of the trading statement released this morning and then open up the line for questions. I'll cover off the operational initiatives and then hand over to Mark, who will cover off the financial metrics and what they mean for our overall performance. So first, with organic site openings, we're in line with our guidance with 17 new openings in the year. The performance of our recently opened sites is encouraging. Our 2017 openings are exceeding expectations, and the sites opened in 2018 have been trading in line with normal opening profiles. This demonstrates that we're continuing to find excellent new sites across the country as the low-cost gym market continues to grow. Some of the sites that opened in the second half opened later than originally planned due to factors outside our control, such as delays in the receipt of building warrants from local authorities. This resulted in fewer trading weeks and lower revenue in 2018 than our original plans. Due to their later opening, they are, of course, also less progressed along their growth cycle. The member growth profiles of these 2018 gyms have been very encouraging, and notwithstanding their later than expected openings, are in line with our expectations at this point in their maturity cycle. It was also a busy year in terms of converting sites from our two acquisitions. We rebranded all 18 sites acquired from Lifestyle and 10 of the 13 sites acquired from EasyGym. And I'm pleased to say that the conversions look great and we've received good feedback from members. This is a tremendous effort from our property team, who at the same time as they were doing these conversions were also opening the 17 organic sites and managing a maintenance program. As you'll recall, initially, we had decided just to rebrand 10 of the 18 Lifestyle sites, and then we took the decision in March of last year to accelerate the conversion of the 8 remaining Lifestyles. This meant that all 18 sites have now been rebranded, and in 2019 will benefit from our marketing, branding, technology, and our operating model. At the year end, we operated 158 sites overall, which is a doubling of the estate in just over 30 months. And with our Northampton gym having just opened in the first week of 2019, we're now at 159 sites. And we recently surpassed the landmark of 750,000 members. The pipeline for 2019 for new sites is strong, giving us confidence to reiterate our 15 to 20 openings guidance for another year. If I turn now to Live It, our premium membership package, following a successful trial, we rolled out nationally by the end of May, and the results so far have been very encouraging, with 11.7% of our members on a Live It subscription by the end of December. As we're experiencing a greater take-up in new members as they join compared with existing members upgrading, we expect the overall penetration of Live It to continue to grow in 2019. Now, we've always stressed that Live It is not completely incremental as it replaces our existing bundle and twin offers, but the success of Live It has nevertheless been a contributing factor to our 3.3% increase in average revenue per member per month. Just moving on now to pricing. Our pricing is done on a site-by-site basis, and this takes into account local factors such as demographics, competition, and capacity in the gym, amongst other things. Over the years, we've consistently flexed price in our gyms, both up and down, and successively managed total revenue from a site, which is obviously members times yield, whilst maintaining strong levels of customer service. In other words, we make sure that we don't overcrowd the gyms with too many members. In the last 2 to 3 years, price changes have generally been upward. We concluded that over this spring and summer, we may have let the balance between yield and volume in some sites get slightly out of kilter. And to that end, we wanted to make sure we had good momentum in Q4 ready for the important Q1 period, Hence, we made some tactical price reductions in Q4 that we have now extended into Q1. The good news is that the volume reaction has been good through quarter four and into the new year. Hence, we approach 2019 with confidence. Our overall view is that the market remains in a very strong phase of growth. The low-cost market grew another 13% in 2018 to 654 gyms, and our own market share is now above 24%. We see lots more growth to go after, both for the gym group and the limited number of our competitors that are expanding. And the best evidence of this is the performance of the 2017 and 18 cohorts, which are performing very much in line with historical maturation profiles. And finally, just on the operations side, we wanted to update you on the progress of our new personal trainer model. The trial has been successful, and we plan to roll out the new model across the rest of the estate in 2019, starting in April of this year. We plan to make one key change versus the model employed in the trial. You'll recall that in our previous guidance, we said that introducing the new model would be financially neutral for the company. This required us to generate rent from PTs, net of VAT, a level equal to the salary that we paid to them for being part-time employees. We've now decided to reduce the monthly rental charge to the PTs so that we effectively cover the VAT and that it's the PTs that are financially neutral versus the previous model. We believe this is the right thing to do for our personal trainers, and the move has been very well received by the personal trainers as we've communicated it to them. And whilst it will cost us an extra £1 million per year from 2019, we believe this is a good investment and will help us deliver a market-leading personal trainer model to enable us to attract the best PTs and offer an even better experience for our members. As we note in the statement, member satisfaction metrics from those sites in the trial are ahead of the estate as a whole. Let me now hand over to Mark.
Thank you, Richard. Good morning, everyone. First, I just wanted to say how pleased I am to join this great business. It's one that's in a market of long-term structural growth and has a well-proven business model that can deliver amazing value for its members and at the same time an excellent return on capital for shareholders. As Richard said, 2018 has been another year of tremendous progress for the business. With the growth in sites from organic openings, conversions and acquisition, we closed the year with 724,000 members, an increase of 19% compared to December 2017. As a result of having the lifestyle sites for a whole year, compared to just 3 months in 2017, plus of course the 13 Easy Gym sites we acquired in June, the average membership level across the year grew by a higher rate, by 31% to 693,000. The average membership number, of course, is the more important one from a revenue perspective, and this growth in average members, combined with a growth in revenue per member of 3.3%, delivered overall revenue growth of 36% for the year, at 123.9 million. As Richard mentioned, this has been a transformational year for us operationally, setting us up for years of further growth with investments in systems and people, as well as new sites and acquisitions. We've been very pleased with how the year has gone overall, but we have had impacts to our revenue in two areas, our back-ended 2018 opening program and our lifestyle conversion program, which both resulted in fewer trading weeks than expected. The impact of the closures from the lifestyle conversions is a one-off, and we don't expect further effect in the 2019 numbers. The impact of the later opening of some of our 2018 sites will, however, flow through into 2019, as the sites will be earlier in the maturity curve throughout the coming year. However, as we mentioned in the trading statement, the growth profiles of both our 2017 and 2018 cohorts are on track with earlier cohorts. This is clear evidence that we are able to continue to find good sites for new gyms as we and others in the industry continue to grow this market. We expect that at our prelims in March, we'll be announcing profit in the form of our primary profit measure, group adjusted EBITDA, of approximately £37 million, which would be growth of over 30% for the year. Our EBITDA as a percentage of revenue is a fraction lower than last year, reflecting a period of growth in which we now have a large proportion of immature sites in our estate, be it from organic openings or acquisitions. Of our 158 sites, only 89 were what we define as mature, being 2 years old or more. As a proportion of mature sites grows, we will, of course, see EBITDA margin grow too. So to wrap up, with the strong foundations we've built during 2018, we're very well placed to continue delivering profitable growth with our proven business model that also delivers an excellent return on capital. With that, we'll now open the line to questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. You can cancel your request by pressing the hash key. And your first question is coming from the line of Douglas Jack. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning. I've got three quick questions, if that's okay. The first would be, can you just sort of talk about the timing of the 2019 openings in terms of the pipeline, whether it's going to be back-end weighted again like last year and whether there's going to be much in the way of conversion downtime? I suspect there's going to be a lot less conversion downtime. Second question would be, when you look at the 3.3% growth in average revenue per member, what was the LiveIt benefit within that 3.3%? And last question would be on returns. Based on what you're saying in terms of recent cohorts and how they're trading, would you say at this stage that the return on capital, which has been averaging consistently 32% over many years, is still roughly the return on capital you're achieving?
One and three, and then I'll let Mark kind of cover the average revenue per member per month. So 2019 openings, we would expect to be a similar profile to what we've seen in previous years, so kind of back-ended. I'd say it was just particular circumstances led us this time last year to think that we were going to be more evenly weighted in 2018. That didn't happen for things outside of our control, as we said. So we'd expect 2019 opening profile to be back-ended. So in previous years, for instance, we've done six in the first half, and I think you could expect to see that again. In terms of returns, obviously, you know, we tend to cover return on capital at actually our prelims in March. However, as you know, we continue to target 30% return on capital on our mature estate from organic openings, and you know, because of what we said about how the business has matured, we, you know, we'd expect to continue to achieve that.
Yeah, on LiveIt and the average revenue per member growth of 3.3%, LiveIt was a contributing factor to that, but only about a fifth of that 3.3% growth in revenue per member was due to LiveIt. And the reason why that's relatively small this year is you'll remember that we had our twin and multi-site products prior to launching LiveIt. And so there's some cannibalization of that. There was about 6% of our member base had those two products combined. So LiveIt had to get above 6% penetration before it started to have a potential impact on the revenue per member. And it has gone above that this year, but it's a relatively impact on the overall number. Now, of course, having passed that point of cannibalization, then growth in LiveIt penetration 2019, which we fully expect to continue, will then be all incremental on the revenue per member number next year.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Your next question is coming from the line of Catherine Lena. Please ask your question.
Morning, everyone. Just in terms of the promotional activity that's been going on, are you able to comment at all on just the price elasticity of demand and the volume uplift that you've seen, whether or not that's been relatively within your expectations? And can you just comment on, you know, the precedents that exist there as well, if possible, please? And then just secondly, are you able to just comment on what your pricing growth expectations are for the group in FY19? Thank you.
Okay, so in terms of pricing, as quite rightly noted, we've reduced some prices in November. Actually, we put some of them back up to the prevailing price at the beginning of January, about eight that we put back up and three that we increased kind of partially. So we're left with about 40 overall. Of those, 28 we've done as what we would call permanent price reductions, and about 12 are on a three-month kicker. So a kind of a variety of kind of measures that we put in place. I think, as I said in my opening remarks, this is something that that we have done previously, and we've done it very successfully, and we spoke about it a lot at the IPO. We just happen to have not done it in the last 2 to 3 years. And where we've done it previously, what we've seen is significant increases in volume. And whilst it's kind of very early days, clearly we've only had a couple of months of it, and we're now into a key trading period. And we've been encouraged enough by the response of the price reductions to want to make certain of them permanent so that we can see the volume uplift come from a very significant trading period. And so that's what we've done. We are seeing encouraging volume uplifts. In terms of overall pricing, and that's not to say, by the way, for 2019 that those price reductions will stay at that level throughout 2019. Obviously, in some of the sites, if we see the good volume uplift, we may kind of raise price kind of later in the year. Overall, we still, as Mark has said, see through a combination of the natural yield maturation in the rest of the estate plus the impact on Livit, strong uplifts in terms of average revenue per member per month. And I think what's quite instructive about this kind of balance between volume and yield is if you look at the last 4 years, the average revenue per member per month actually only went up by about 2.5%. Yet in 2018, we showed a 3.3% increase in 1 year. And I think that's indicative of the fact that, you know, we have been raising prices, and we feel the need just to rebalance the amount of volume versus yield that we get in the estate overall.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question is coming from Richard Taylor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, morning. Two questions, please. Firstly, on Livit, it's moved up again since you last reported. Where do you think it could settle in terms of the overall membership base towards the end of this year, please? And secondly, on your price reductions that you've outlined, was this partly in response to a competitor activity or a desire simply to rebalance volume versus yield, or was it a bit of both? Thank you.
I'll answer the Livit question perhaps and pass over to the pricing with Richard. Yeah, so we continue to be reluctant to give a specific target number for Livit and where it ultimately might go to. You'll forgive us for that. What is clear is that we will be growing beyond the 11.7% that we ended the year on. That's simply the effect of having higher penetration in new joiners than we do in existing members upgrading. So the natural churn effect through our cycle means that we will gradually grow that 11.7%. But we don't want to put a number on that at this stage because it's still very early in the life of this product. So we don't want numbers to get carried away in terms of where we might end up in terms of the penetration overall.
In terms of your question about price reductions, as I said in my kind of opening remarks, our primary kind of consideration here is to get the right balance between volume and yield. And we just felt in those summer months that we may have just, because of 2 years effectively of only upward price increases, that we may have got that balance slightly wrong, and we wanted to rebalance, hence the fact that we did the price reductions. Our competitors, and obviously our major competitor, has a slightly different pricing philosophy, which is generally to price at a level higher than what we do. And as a result of that, then I think what you can probably expect to see is that on occasion they will do promotions to try and drive volume, but promoting against that higher headline price. So, for instance, in October, they did a three-month half price up to the end of the year. So, you know, each to their own. You know, our philosophy is, as I say, to kind of, you know, look at that balance between volume and yield and make sure that we've got the right sort of balance, hence the need in a limited number of sites in our estate to reduce prices.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you. Your next question is coming from Anna Barnfather. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. I've got just a couple. On the refurbishment of the estate, I know you did the sort of lifestyle conversions, but how many of the core estate did you refurbish or upgrade as part of your cycle? Secondly, on those promotions, where you've dropped prices, were the membership numbers in decline or just not growing in line with expectations for you to adjust price? Thank you. Oh, and one more, sorry. On Live It, do you expect Live It to have an impact on churn rates at all? Sorry, three questions.
I think in terms of refurbishments, what we made was a commitment, it's actually at the Capital Markets Day, which was over 18 months ago, which was by the end of 2018 to have got the estate to a common standard. Now, what we meant by that was that it had some of the most recent branding, it had things like kind of member zones and kiosks, and generally we've done that, apart from a very small handful of sites. And in addition to that, obviously, we've also converted all the lifestyles and converted 10 out of 13 of the easy gyms. So I think that's a, kind of been a very strong statement to get the estate up to a very good state of refurbishment. In terms of second question.
In terms of the price reductions?
Yeah.
Some of our sites were in decline. Partly, of course, the seasonality that we expect in Q4, some sites do decline anyway, and then they pick up quite sharply in Q1. But yes, in certain cases, sites were declining, and that was only right that we then took the action to try and improve the volume versus yield equation for those sites.
And I think your third question, Anna, was about whether we're seeing more churn on Live It. We're seeing no different trends on Live It versus what we see on the base membership in terms of churn.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Your next question is coming from Sahil Shah. Please go ahead.
Morning, guys. To be honest with you, most of my questions have been asked, but just sort of thinking this through. Just in terms of this promotional activity, could you give us a bit more sense to what extent your sense is that this is partially driven by competition or the macro, or it is the way you explained it? My second question was around the weighting of the 2018 openings. Of the 17, how many came through in Q4? And looking into F19, could you sort of give us a sense that the second half, will there be more Q4 or Q3 biased? Thank you.
I think the promotional activity is as I've explained it, which is just our desire to get the right balance between yield and volume. And I guess just as an indication of that, Sahil, our average price this time last year was £17.50. Our average price today is £17.35. So we're not talking about overall a significant kind of reduction in price. We're just talking about a pretty modest rebalance in certain of the sites in the estate where there is capacity and we see the ability to drive volume. And the good news is, as I say, the early indications overall of that kind of volume is that it's reacting to the price reductions. Mark will cover the openings question.
Yeah, so of the 17 openings, 8 of them were in Q4, and of that 8, 5 of those were in December. So as you can see, it's a very back-ended program for this year.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question is coming from Rose Broadfoot. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Two from me. The first one is regarding the PTs and your absorbing of the VAT. Is that to attract back any PTs who may have left because it was more expensive for them to do business, or is this more a case of appeasing existing PTs?
Okay, thanks, Ross. It's not to attract back because we had it in The new model is in 24 sites in the estate, which is basically the new sites that we open plus, you know, one region really that that we trialed the new model in. But clearly through that trial process, we did a lot of communication and talking to the PTs just about the new model. And coming out of that came the sense that actually, if we really wanted to make ourselves market leading and be able to attract the best PTs, we needed to have the kind of the best proposition for those PTs. And some of the noise that we were hearing about the fact that they were having to absorb an additional £60 per month, which is really what it equated to, meant that we actually decided that the right thing to do for the long-term health of this business was to make it financially neutral versus the old model for the PTs. The impact of that is, for us, is about £1 million. But in a world where we think member service is really the differentiating factor, we think that that's a very worthwhile sum and investment to make. And we did a widespread roadshow before Christmas to go and communicate that to the PTs. And I've got to tell you, the response where we sent out lots of members of the senior team to go and head up those roadshows, including myself, the response was very positive, which gives us a lot of confidence when we roll out the new model, it will be truly market leading, and therefore it will help us attract the best PTs.
Great, thanks. In a second, just if you could comment briefly on the uptake of the app and any future development plans for that.
Yeah, so with the app at the moment, it's it went live in the very few days before the new year, so end of December. It's a soft launch at the moment, so we're not doing any marketing around it. We, with many apps as you would expect, we would do that and just get a little bit of feedback from the users. We've got quite a few members on it at the moment giving us feedback, which is great. And then once we're happy that we've ironed out the initial bugs from the launch, we'll start to talk more openly about it with members. But it is in the App Store if you look for it. Initially, it's primarily about trying to replicate some of the functionality that we have in the members zone on our website, so things like being able to book an induction or book a class, and then over time that gives us the opportunity to also increase the amount of content available through the app. But at the moment it's very much in its initial phase, trying to get initial feedback from our members.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Your next question is coming from Julian Easthope. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good morning, everyone. Three questions for me. When I look back at the interim results, on a pro forma basis post the EasyGym acquisition, you had 720,000 members. And it seems to me just 4,000 up by the full year. So I was just interested in, you know, whether those numbers are right and, you know, if you could sort of explain the bridge. The second question comes on churn. I just wondered if you've seen any difference in churn now, and also from new members. I think you said that 35% of new members had not joined the gym before, but whether the mix between rejoiners and members from other clubs had changed. And finally, in terms of the price reductions that you've done, does that apply to all existing members when it's permanent, or do you end up with some members paying more than others, and is that an issue? Thank you.
Okay. In terms of the member numbers that you note, I mean, as this business kind of develops, gets more mature, increasingly it gets kind of, there's more elements of seasonality. And so the numbers you refer to reflect that seasonality. Generally, the business would have a very strong quarter one. You'd see some seasonality in the summer months. The next then kind of strong period becomes autumn, September and October, particularly when the students come back. So I think the numbers that you're seeing there really just reflect the seasonality. You'll have noted elsewhere in the statement and in the comments the fact that we're at 750,000 and, you know, we're just 2 weeks into January. So, you know, clearly January is alive and well and we're seeing the sort of uplifts from, you know, our marketing campaign, but also, you know, those limited price reductions that we'd expect, very much in line with what we've seen previously. You asked about kind of churn. I mean, the the stat you mentioned about 35% of members new to the gym, I mean, that's been pretty consistent going back 11 years, and we're not really seeing any kind of difference in terms of that particular stat. Churn, or the other way of looking at churn, is tenure. Again, tends to be pretty consistent overall. The last time we reported on it, we saw a slight increase in tenure up to 10.4 months. But that is pretty consistent, and you know, churn is a fundamental part of the low-cost model and always has been, and something that we've spoken about for quite a while. And then I think your final question was where we reduce price. Is it for the whole site, or is it just for new members? Actually, obviously, because it's a price that new members take up, it's just for new members. Clearly, if existing members want to take that up, they would have the opportunity to leave and rejoin if that's what they want to do, or they could go through our call center and pay a small admin fee to be able to do that. The reality is not many of them actually do it.
Brilliant. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We seem to have no further questions at this time. As a reminder, it's a star and one if you wish to ask a question.
Okay. I think if there's no further questions, thank you very much just for joining the call this morning. As I said, this has been a very significant year for the business, one that in which we've delivered strong, profitable growth and at the same time invested in building the foundations for future growth. We've started 2019 with our first ever TV ad, which has been aired on Channel 4 and various other channels. And we see kind of TV overall as an important part of a balanced media plan that includes things like out-of-home, digital and social, and also kind of local awareness that will drive both awareness of our brand and also acquisition in the important January-February trading period. So overall, we're entering 2019 in good heart and with confidence about our ongoing growth potential. So thank you for joining the call and look forward to seeing you in March at our prelim results.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.